It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day out here, and you should see how the clouds are shrouding the mountain, and absolutely beautiful. A little overcast, but still a nice sight. And feel free this morning to call in. I know that some of you may have missed Polka. I assume he'll be back next week. I didn't hear him yesterday or today, so I can't give you any insight as to his absenteeism, but I'm sure it was a good reason. And we're going to be talking about a number of things and other things that you'd like to talk about if you're interested. 524-1080. And we're going to talk about the vexatious requester bill introduced by Mr. Scott Sikey up there in McCully, Mo'ili'ili. I don't believe that Scott Sikey is attached to this planet like we are. I think he may have misunderstood the Democratic Party or the Democrat Party as a form of Nazism or something, because they keep clawing at trying to deprive the public in every way they can the rights to public records. And I've been here for some while now exercising these rights, and I must tell you, I haven't seen one single good bill authored that enhances the public's, speaks to the enhancement of the public access to records and transparency in government. And we'll talk about that, so please join in. And, you know, we can take a lot from, while many of us are worried about what Donald Trump is doing, our own relatives and friends and so-called leaders here in this state are laying a roadmap for Donald Trump. He didn't have to even think about it. Just follow Psyche and the state legislators here that are Democrats now. So let's be careful. I'm not defending Donald Trump, but let's not be so aware of what Trump is doing, and then these guys here locally are trampling on our rights and locking the doors and barring them when it comes to public records, public access. And we know with the level of corruption here, this place should have everything obvious and open and available to the public for scrutiny. They're going the opposite direction of that. We have many occasions proven the corruption that exists here, and it's just uncontrollable, it seems. And yet they want to even stop you now. And this is the last vestiges of transparency, this UIPA, Uniform Information Practices Act request, or that exercise of rights. So I see we have a caller. Let me just make an adjustment here. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Thank you very much for taking my call, Mr. Berg. 100% collabing with you. My name is of no consequence, but I've called before. Calling from Kuakini Hospital.
What is your name, sir?
Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
How are you feeling this morning?
Richard DeConi. I'm fine, but I am on my back in a bed at Kuakini, a wonderful, wonderful hospital. But I did want to comment very, very consistent with what you have just said. 2 weeks ago, I was at the state capitol. I brought documents to the Transportation Ways and Means Finance opposing get tax, a hard rail focus for the people against all of this, the corruption. I was to testify at 3 o'clock, 105 tests of a fever, and I fell, and I ended up in the hospital. But what I wanted to do and what I did in print for them, debt is a regressive tax, clothes, food, rent. I make $2,000. That's my assets. It's a regressive tax, and this is a gestalt because debt steals from every service, every organization, every committee, every person, every county. It's a regressive tax put on us by the city council primarily, and now in coalition with the state. Caldwell is conning the state for more money. And he's going to raise proposal. I haven't read a newspaper, or only very few, so what I'm saying is suspect, but raise the gas tax, raise the taxes for the internet, raise taxes anywhere you can to get money for the rail. To get money for the rail. Now, what they do is they frame the argument by using affordable housing, complete streets, make a Y for a Y, and that's how they start the argument. No, no, no. You start the argument with all the detrimental stages of the corrupt rail. You start by the cost of the rail, the harm caused aesthetically and in every other way. And it's just a conspiracy, collusion, call it any way you want. There is no public critical thinking. There's no transparency, never has been. I was at Radford High School 9 years ago. That's when I started, and when an engineer told me, when I said, you need a standard of pillar to pull up the elevated guideway, and he said to me, well, there's going to be problems, but we'll deal with that when we get to it. Name anything in the whole project that hasn't been. We'll deal with that when we get to it. They never had money in the beginning. They don't have money now. They're at the state, they can't get feds. They have no idea where they're going to get the money. They oversimplified. They simply said, well, steel rail is the only way to go. Specious argument, duality, only one solution. They could have had monorail, magnetic levitation, rubber on concrete, Philae system with the magnets, tolls. There were other options, but that was not in the original plan whatsoever. It was never about moving people. It was about corruption, developers, development, labor. Let me give you another. Horner. And Kobayashi asked him years ago at the city council, Mr. Horner, you got two or three pillars up. Your fiscal plan here shows you haven't got enough money. And Horner said to her, and do you want to send the boys back to the bench? And that's because of labor. And the way they get it through, they demonize. Look what they've done in terms of voting rights, in terms of signs, in terms of windows, in terms of propaganda. They demonize. What do you want to do? Take money away from my sons and daughters because we need that rail. Mm-hmm. So please, if you wanted to comment, I'd be happy to respond if I can.
Well, the taxes and anyone else out there that want to call in, hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. I guess we missed him there. Someone was calling in. And. But anyway, Richard, we'll try and share a lot of this. Several of the legislators and city councilmen, and to include the governor, it looked as though we're going to pay that taxes anyway to fund this rail. But is there anything that they're not disclosing publicly that you have come across or that would shine a little more light on? Are they having meetings behind closed doors, or anybody mention anything like that?
No, obviously, how do I know? But for me, that is an absolute, because the transparency is lacking. I'll give you the best example. What about the reformation of the city council by Caldwell to get the rail through? So therefore, the biggest obstacle on the city council was Ann Kobayashi. When a bill comes up for a general obligation bond for the rail, she will say no, and Manahan, who was vice chairman, will say yes, and Pine and the others on the five-member committee will say yes, so now the general obligation bond goes through. Now, what has happened is the Caldwell has with the collusion of all the Pine, Manahan, Menor, they have changed the whole council so that Ann is no longer chairman of the Finance Committee, Budget Committee, and now Manahan is. Menor is chairman, Ernie Martin is not. Now, if you ask who are the three people who voted against Caldwell, Kobayashi, Ozawa, and Martin, they're out and the others are in. It is collusion. Mm-hmm. It is not democracy.
Hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
Yes, I have a comment for this guy, Richard. I think he should get... He never calls the Rick Amato show. I wonder why not, because I think his philosophy goes along Rich with Amato. Amato would love to hear him on his show also. I've never heard him on the Amato show. How about that, Richard? Bye.
I have been on him, Rick Amato's show many times. I'm in the hospital. I haven't been... I'm incapacitated. I'm on my back right now. And I've been on Dookie Iona's show. I've been on Rick Amato's show. Rick Amato knows me by name. And I definitely have been on his program. That is not true.
So, well, I mean, he's just asking. He's not alleging that you haven't been. And one must understand that... Everybody doesn't sit and listen to a show every day, so it could be.
Sure.
You know, someone could claim that I'm not on my show, and they would be right sometimes. I'm just not here. But
yes, I come on Fridays when
Panos
Privadoris has been on. Yeah.
Well, okay, we're not advertising shows and what
have you. I'm sorry.
No. It's just that there's much more important things to discuss, and if. As to it relates to trying to enlighten people, solicit some insight or input. Here's the situation.
Sure.
What is it that, and you share your observation if you haven't given any thought. There's this debate about, and there's a great fires are burning almost that discusses and talks about the Republican Party and the lack thereof of representation in the legislature. Now, here's what I have a question, and you're more observant. How is it that we could have such a climate where we know high taxes, we know just abuse of authority on the part of the city and the state government as from a Democratic angle? How is it that all of that exists, and yet the Republicans are dwindling in numbers? You would think, is it that the people of Hawaii are just unique and just will let anybody screw them as long as it's not a Republican? That was an eloquent way of putting it, right?
Yeah, no, it is the people. It's the people. We have a democracy, a supposed democracy. However, we have a federal republic whereby we have people who represent us, but we don't have a direct one-for-one vote for everybody running. And they have manipulated the propaganda so that they have convinced, and the Democrats are at fault. I am a political party. I have no party. But the people who have the power, two things, power and culture. Now, if the power controls the culture, that's what happens. And that is what is happening right now as we speak. And I don't see how it can possibly continue.
But what's the solution? I pick up the paper and I pick up, turn on a radio show and I hear on other shows saying, well, you know, it's a shame that Hawaii is almost a one-sided government and a one-party town, and I'm trying to figure this out, process it, and understand. Are they complaining that people are not just voting for people because they're Republicans? Are they not voting for Republicans because they don't share the same values or same views or same issues? What is it that cannot break this vicious cycle of lack of, they have a claw, an iron or steel claw holding it, the grips of the Democrats. And you know people, everybody I talk to, Richard, is complaining about taxes, out of control government, government that's not responsive to the people, and all at the hands of the Democrats. So I'm really puzzled as to what, why do people complain that the Republicans are not represented when, is it what they're doing is just bass-ackward? Or is what is going on?
It is apathy. And the apathy is because the people are not well informed. Now, if they were, and there were paid, paid overcomes apathy. Now, if you do this, if the state raises the taxes on automobiles, and the city does the same thing, and you've got the general excise tax, when does this pain reach the point where, and I choose my words very carefully, civil disobedience? If you look across the country, I'm revolution. But there is something going on, and if this can, here's the problem. Will it be persistent? If it's just like the other marches and so forth, if the people don't keep this up, then the demagogues will get their way.
Well, again, we have the Green Party here. And I'm hoping you can speak to this and just give us some of your views. What you've just said is fine and dandy, but there is something missing in this state where we know we have a dysfunctional government. We know that. We know we have a dishonest government. We know that. We know we have a corrupt government. We know that. And apathy, I think we can get past it. There's something else that's going on that prevent people from voting for, but even the propaganda machine, at some point, they're already hurting. The pain is there. People are having to move out of state, can't get jobs, seeing increased homelessness, medical concerns, and all of that, and crime is increasing, and corruption in government. Why are we not voting for Green Party members or independents? I mean, is there something in the water?
Well, the power offers the majority or enough to get their position, get their way.
But how about the people, though? See, there's an element here, the people. I mean, I know they process things because I talk to them. But what is it that when they get in that booth to vote, you get the same result? Is it possibly we have voter corruption?
Of course.
Because the number of people that talk to me and ask me, man, what is going on? And this is horrible. And Manure is just as goofy and sleazy. One guy called him sleazy, and I thought, but I don't know Ron that way. I know Ron Manure as a person who looks out for the people. But then when he became the chairman and then throwed his support to the mayor, it's like, wow, that guy had a harsh words for him, but it's consistent with what the gentleman was saying.
Planus Providoris once said that they will let you get 46-47% of the vote, but that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the majority and they win.
Mm-hmm.
And there many, many ways in which, look at the Charter Commission. How can you have 20 charter amendments?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you number 12. Very short, quick one. Every agency commission must come under scrutiny whereby things could be deferred or the whole process could be ended except for the water department. And HART. HART does not have to come under any scrutiny. They are exempt. They are semi-autonomous and they don't have to be. Charter Amendment number 12.
Right.
How did that get passed? They got the labor unions to vote for it.
Well,
and of course,
yeah,
that's one way.
Right. Now, I know we're getting a couple calls, but if you're not patient, there's nothing you can. We can't talk to you if you can't hold on. Isn't that right, Richard? I mean the people that are calling. They call and if I guess if we don't push the button immediately, it's a.
Oh, you go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You've got to listen to what I'm saying. I'm speaking to those that are calling that are not holding on. Okay.
Sure. Well, you get them on.
No, they're hanging up, Richard. They're not holding. They're not patient. I'm just letting them know. So call back if they'd like to. So
yeah, I will. So you go ahead with the program. Thank you for taking my call. I hope everything goes well.
So how are you feeling this morning?
Oh, I'm fine. I am on the back of my bed. I just got fed through a tube in my stomach, and I had two or three nurses, but I was still able to continue this conversation.
Yeah. So the thing is, they say you can't keep a good man down, huh?
Well, I don't know about good, but they're not keeping me down. I can't wait to get out of here.
Now this isn't a conspiracy against you, is it?
I know. Listen.
Hold on. No. Hold on for a moment.
All right.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, the answer is a law.
Pardon me?
The answer for everything is a law. And you tell Richard, I'm going to visit him. What hospital is he? He's at?
Cook Keening.
Hello?
Yes.
I'd like to visit Richard. What hospital is this at?
Richard, can you take visitors?
I'm Kurokini.
You know me. You know me. When you listen to me. I always come down there and I watch him.
Yes.
And he's a great man and I respect him so much. I'm going to visit him. I like no way he stay at what hospital.
Right.
Because the answer is the hukule and the law. Okay? The law spirit. That's the answer.
All righty.
Check the history. Okay, brother.
All right. Thank you, brother. Richard, go ahead. Go ahead, Richard.
Oh, okay. I will stay and talk, but naturally, I do not want to encroach upon your program.
Well, you're not. I'll let you know. You know, I've never minced words. I'll let you know.
Please do. Please do.
But I'm really trying to solicit from you and anybody out there. We have a very serious problem, and that problem apparently is a human problem, and that is all the politics. We know now historically here in the last couple of years we've had some flops and fumbles and stumbles with the voting process. And Scott Nagy, remember that? Voter, and I believe that to steal a play from Mr. Trump, I honestly believe, based on what I have observed and the incidences that I believe that many of these elections are stolen. And you don't have to steal that much because you can go away winning and on the office with about 200-300 votes and sometimes less. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
But you know, it's a funny thing. I was thinking, well, it doesn't. You really don't take that many votes to win an office, and that's interesting in itself. But what's really more interesting is that. Once you get in, that person that won by 25 votes and only garnered 12,000 votes out of 30,000 voters or whatever, he then can make your life miserable, he or she.
Yep.
And it's as if he got a million votes. It does not matter. Once you get in that position and start introducing bills and voting in certain ways and supporting taxes on taxes on taxes and wait fees and parking fees and all of that.
That they will gerrymander the voting block in a geographic area whereby that person will always get in because there will be 80-90% of the people who will always vote one way.
Mm-hmm.
Manichaeism, black, white, good, bad. You're not going to change their vote, and it's been gerrymandered by law. So the ones who are in do not have to worry about being reelected.
And that can be also true for the Democrats, where we say we hear often, well, the Republicans have strategized and manipulated the communities and drawn lines. But isn't it possible that the Democrats are doing the same thing?
Absolutely.
And so they end up with a young guy who has milk behind his ears and hadn't learned to walk straight, become an elected official, and then what? He's part of the herd, right? Or part of
absolutely.
The pack.
Absolutely. Well, it's absolutely, there's no one party. It's all of them.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know it that well, but if I, well, first of all, it would be for the Green Party. Their platform seems most agreeable to me. I don't know it that well.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the national level, Elizabeth Warren and, but anyway, it's, what they say and what they do. So what the public, it's both parties, everyone. It's not one or the other.
I'm employing these tactics or tactics.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look and I see that that you rarely get approached by the Green Party. I mean, you see they'll put one person in locally here and he or she becomes the talk of the town, and you know that absolutely the way things are going and what people are saying, that he has a snowball chance in hell to win, you know. Because, and I don't know if that's due because the people that I know that have run for office, while they will talk in the Green Party and Independence, they'll talk part of, you know, meet you halfway in a sense, but they're really not going all the way to reveal what their real plans are. There seems to be a hidden agenda with them as well when you deal with them. So what if they divested themselves of this kind of mindset and of attitude toward the voter? Think it would be different?
Sure. Somehow everybody must come together for the common good of all the people.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it is that simple. Now, if it means money, because what the opposition does, they have accumulated donors who are willing, not 100,000, but 1 million, 5 million. Look at Ward Warehouse. Look at that whole, what's going on in Kaka'aku. And look at all the money there. Look at the margin of profit for that big developer. I know his name. I've forgotten.
Howard Hughes, I say.
Howard Hughes. Look at the, just in the newspaper the last day or two, the margin of profit for Howard Hughes in Kaka'aku. This didn't just occur over the last few months. This has been planned for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
To the detriment of the Hawaiian people. Now, it's money. It's that's the laws that are made by the rich to trample the poor.
Mm-hmm.
So it is money. You've got to have money to support your campaign. And, you know, his book called What's Wrong with Kansas, the people voted against their own self-interest. And now you've got what happened with Trump. People are voting against their own self-interest. Of course, you're in a coal mine community, and you've lost all jobs there. I feel badly, but Trump knew what to say. I'll get you your jobs. The jobs are going to come with automation. They're going to come with the robots. They're not going to have the same kind of jobs. What level of education do you have to work in that kind of sterile computerized robot? You've got to have an education to do that. So part of the solution is start with part. You've got to educate the people somehow to some extent. There are some countries that have done this. I'll say Denmark, but I think it is, whereby they will give people $1,000, $2,000, a significant amount of money to live. And how much that is or the specifics, I'm not sure. But there is that, but of course, that's socialism. And the military is socialized. And what they're going to do to Obamacare, to affordable health, is terrible, terrible, terrible. Of course, because the pharmaceutical industry, I will not pay pharmaceutical insurance because I followed it when it started and I saw all of the collusion and so forth. And Obama acquiesced, and the single payer is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's socialism, and of course, the big money does not. What would happen if you have single payer to the big pharmaceutical industry?
So, an interesting observation here is that you know how we are really worried about Donald Trump,
yes.
and we say, well, he came in and told people what they wanted to hear. But the reality is, the people, it wasn't Donald Trump fashioning a statement or campaign remarks to suit the people. The reality is that jobs and people, the old technology was being phased out. And the new technology, even though it's brought in, who's going to run those machines and computerized machines when they site a plant in Mississippi? Who's going to do that? Well, the old guy that was turning the wrench and the hydraulics and what have you and doing the physical welding is no longer needed.
Yes.
And so here's a problem. The climate that exists that permits or invites or affords a person like Donald Trump to come in and say things, and the reality is that these people still have a deficit in their training. They're not familiar with the new technology. The plants are completely different when they're in the automation act, you know, factor. So why wouldn't our Democrats who were in for 8 years make sure that they try to modernize and educate and revisit and retrain the people, right? Before
yes,
this
yes.
thing. So that's what my heartburn is with the so-called Democrat Party, because they allow things to fester, you see? And they get what
right.
they want. And so, voila, Donald Trump shows up. He didn't have to be a genius. He didn't have to be the meanest man in the world. He can just capitalize on the frailties or the faults of the Democratic Party or any party that
right.
left these people exposed. You follow?
Of course, because that's what the Democrats should be doing right now as a primary reason for their existence, is doing exactly what you just said, because that's a reality. And what Trump offers is a false promise to a job that will never exist again.
But I guess what I'm trying to suggest is that if we're going to fix it, following Donald Trump down the road and looking and, you know, keeping a watchful eye on him is one tactic. But then we still got to remember, if we were successful tomorrow morning and Donald Trump decides to just forget it, I'm out of here, it was more than I want, and I'm out of here. Then who takes over? The same people, the Democrats, who really don't really give a damn about the people in America.
Well, you do need an alternative. And for me, it's Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders.
But again, what are they saying? What is Bernie saying? And what
well, no, their platform is very clear, precise, exact, but they've got to have the money behind them.
And they have to have a group of people behind them that have the influence. So you
yes,
go back and
yes.
tell. So I just think there's no magic to this, but I look at this and I'm worried about Trump. And let's set that aside, so no one question what I think about Trump. I'm concerned, and I think that he's abusive with many of things. But I also am equally concerned that while we're chasing Trump, we're being too kind with the Democrats, and they don't put up a fight because they're really not. They're for the unions, but if you know the unions control many of these situations, like here in Hawaii, many of them push it, say, yeah, we'll support you because we're going to get jobs. Well, the jobs may come in for the union and the unionized people, but what is the overall impact financially? The union they supported it. Now, the union, where's the union at saying, well, wait, we didn't intend you to tax the people out of their money to the point where they are suffering and struggling and got to move. But they don't have a conscience.
Of course, and to each individual, of course, its survival to different degrees.
Mm-hmm.
In a coal community in West Virginia, where there is no more coal, and everything has to close, the stores, the banks, because there is nobody, everybody that can moves out, what are you left with? There is survival, and along comes a fascist like Trump. I will give you this. Mussolini did it. Hitler did it after the First World War, etc. It's history repeating itself again and again. It's so obvious. And they say, well, Richard, you have an opinion. Yes, I do. But my opinion is based on historical, significant, factual resources.
Mm-hmm.
And all anybody would have to do is go back in history and look at the end of World War One, what the Allies did to Germany and what destitute condition they were in. Look at the origination of fascism, fasciste, from Mussolini,
right,
whereby the dictator got corporations and industry and public-private partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the military, and that is what Hitler liked. So he adhered and got Mussolini to come along. And it's all in history.
Right.
But
Trump he's not coming in and strong. He didn't have to. We had, 17 people campaigning with him in the Republican Party?
Yeah.
And how many did we have in the Democratic Party?
Well, two primarily.
Right.
Three.
And so what does that say about... I'm trying to get at is that... Are we so down on Trump? And I'm not saying in the sense that we should lighten up, and I think we should be more aggressive toward Trump. But I think that if we ran him out of office or he volunteered left, we're then going to be stuck with the same worse system because they're our friends. The Democrats is a people's party, right? The poor man's party. And the poor man has more crime in his home states now than his bigger cities. And, you know, under Obama, the water system there, you know, where the people were in Michigan?
Well, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have got to be the leaders. And then the Democrats have elected a new leader.
They elected a new leader, but where is he from? Perez, what's he going to do?
Perez. Exactly. Exactly right, Mr. Cox.
Yeah, so I'm just basically saying to you and listeners that I believe that whoever gets in office, until we come to terms with the Democratic Party or whatever party we trust, they've screwed us so badly that, I mean, Trump wasn't around when we start to see the increase of homelessness, was he? Here in Hawaii, for example.
Yep.
He had nothing to do with that. So we're going to let these guys get off and by pointing the finger and complaining about how bad he is, and we all get duped again. I basically would never vote again for a Democrat because they take our trust, as I've said many times on this show. They take our trust. They squander it. They do things that just... unbelievably insane, but their families and their friends got nice jobs and they are healthy, right? But
yep.
the reality is inner cities are just decaying, and we had 8 years of a Democrat party. I didn't see any of them scampering over one another to make sure to do the right thing, right? I mean,
yep.
I don't believe they gave, the Democrats gave even Obama the support that he should have gotten through this whole process. I don't believe they did.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
And he acquiesced, though, and got the wrong people to help him.
Yeah, we paid off the banks, didn't we?
Yeah, it's... Now, there is no... believe me, I am... I want to think... I am trying to determine a Democrat in Hawaii. Ann Kobayashi is as close to it as I could. Claire Fukunaga. I don't know the state legislators, but I don't trust any of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's got nothing to do with political party, nothing.
It has all to do with what they've done and what you see them doing and
yes.
how they behave and
yes.
the bills they pass and the taxes and the willingness. I mean, look at how many angles and twists and turns in the road, the pathway to get that tax for the rail. I mean,
yep.
they started off, well, we have the money. The Fed's going to give us some money. And I don't have the map here, all the different lies and different speeches that were given to assure we had the money, and it's not going to cost the taxpayer that much. And now, all of a sudden, Hanabusa and all those people that came inside, look what we have now, a proposal to tax everybody.
Yep.
I mean, I know this is a state, but this is a city function in Honolulu, the rail is, right?
Yep.
So I think people on the Big Island, Molokai, why would someone in Molokai be paying a tax for a rail that they might use? And if they do, they're going to pay a fee to get on it?
This is why Caldwell's a con man. He wants to involve the other counties.
Yeah. So,
and it may be as a legislator at the state level to write bills that might do that.
And one might ask, well, why is he talking this way? I'm basically suggesting that let's not get caught up in this feverish fight against Donald Trump and forget that we have snakes and rattlesnakes
oh, yeah.
and foxes and wolves in our legislature, you see.
That's right.
Because Donald Trump has, I don't even know if he's ever set foot in the state capital of Hawaii. I mean,
I doubt it.
To conduct business with the legislators. I don't know. But I can say this, that the people that we do have, they don't speak out on our behalf. I mean, it's always, you introduce this bill, and it didn't work. Okay, you introduce it. Okay, next time, now, like the red light cameras, right? Joe Suki, a while back, introduced him, and it was a pain in the neck and just unfair to the drivers and the public. But look at that. Why are they so insistent on putting red cameras? It's like we said no, it was wrong, and now they're back.
Look at Ho-Ho Pili. I was down there when they had all of the proponents for Ho-Ho Pili and very few against it. I was outside that door when the two people, man, woman, had charts, and they charted the names of people who testified for the developers.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other issues whereby my claim to fame is I show up, that's all. And,
mm-hmm.
But I've been elbow to elbow with Caldwell very, very quickly. On the second floor of Middle Street, I was there with the two engineers. And there was a presentation by the two engineers to the full executive board, and they wanted to know where the money was for the backup generator. It wasn't in the plans financially to have a backup generator, and this was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When Horner, in front of Ann Kobayashi, when she said you don't have the money to continue, you have two or three peers, and that's all, he said, what do you want to do, send the boys back to the bench? I say, well, Richard, you're making all of that up. Well, somehow, look it up. It must be somewhere in a video. And this is years ago. And it is consistent, persistent, continually, again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything I say, I want to be questioned. The caller who I learn more from my mistakes than I learn in any other way. Just like a coach in sport, you learn more from your losses than you do from your victories.
Mm-hmm.
So I have conviction. Intellect, emotion, imagination, intuition is who I am, and I try to use that to the best of my ability to enhance, to make sure that I'm a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And there's got to be a social contract of some kind universally among all of us.
Yeah,
help each other.
I saw yesterday Tulsi Gabbard on TV, and she had, I don't know what you call it, a town hall or bump and run, who knows what it was. But, you know, and this thing with Syria. I think you're talking about a loose cannon.
Yeah.
She is truly a loose cannon, and I was saddened to hear people appraising her. This lady has gone way overboard, in my opinion, and I submit that stay home and take care of the refugees here. Running over there and behind, cloaked behind doors in secrecy, and hanging out with people that have been involved with terrorist organizations, and going meeting with people we've declared as an enemy of the state and DOD, and she's an active military. I think she's probably at the end of her rope as far as her political career. I would hope that I'm right.
Well, she may be running for higher office.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, as an executive for the Syrian government.
Yeah, it's, that is so complex. It's what Toynbee said, 1925 or whatever. It's not simply Huntington also. It's the Caucasian or that the Christians versus the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
That's the. It's not a matter of country. Country is ideologies, and they hide behind the abuse of evil. You're evil, and I want my way.
Right.
No, you're evil, and I want my way.
Right.
And they will use evil, diabolical schemes
mm-hmm.
to get their way. And it doesn't matter which side you're on. They're all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anyway, that's, we've had a chat about, I guess.
A little.
a little bit, but I appreciate it. We're going to take a break, and if you want to call back later on. I hope you're feeling well, and it's unfortunate.
Thank you very much. I so appreciate your call and your radio program. I appreciate all your callers. I apologize if the old man spoke too much, but I'm just trying to help. Thank you, Mr. Cox.
All right, thank you, Richard.
Bye.
All right, aloha. Caller, thank you. Real quick, comment or question.
Hey, what's up, Carol Cox? I'm Conda. Is that hello? he tripped him on his leg. He's like,
well, some of us get excited when they call the Carol Cox Show. I can understand that. It's always good. You got something to go on here, so why don't you try calling in? All of you, listen, 524-1080. When we come back, you're more than welcome to call in, offer your opinions, or show us how giddy you are. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Getting started. And Stanley Turrentine there. Caller, thanks for holding you there.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
How can we? Yes, sir. You got comment questions?
Yes, I'm a first-time caller, and listening to the previous guy, I could feel your angst and trepidation as he went on to explain a lot, like what is the solution, because I think that's what the main thing is that we need to focus on. And, you know, there's that old cliche where a fish stinks from the head down, and I think the solution is... You know, the previous caller mentioned to organize and protest, and if that doesn't work, you know, start a revolution. I would, you know, suggest that you abandon that. And people, for people to protest, they need to get inspired. And so I've been thinking about what the solution could be, and the only thing I could come up with is twofold. We need to have a brand new governor who will have the, you know, the guts to stand up to all the corruption that's going on that's ruining this island. And he needs help even from the federal government. So the federal level and a brand new governor from the head down needs to straighten things out to take on all these huge entities that no, you know, new politician or someone that comes in from three levels down is going to ever be able to do. And, you know, one thing that might happen, you know, with the Obama administration, I don't think that was even possible, but I don't know if Trump's even appointed his Secretary of Transportation yet, but whoever gets that and takes a look at the rail situation, which the federal government is throwing in a lot of money, and sees what kind of a fiasco that has become, I have a feeling the federal government's going to get the new cabinet level people are going to get a taste of, you know, just the insane corruption that's going on our island.
Yeah.
And I hope that they could, you know, just get in, because we need help here, and it's not going to change. People are not inspired to protest. Like the previous caller said, they're apathetic. But we need a governor. We haven't had one yet. I mean, Ige is part of the corruption. Remember when he got appointed, or when he won, his very, very, very first appointment was? I don't know if you remember. It was that guy that represented the developers.
Chang.
Yeah, remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we had some checks and balances in place where that guy, you know, got canned.
But then he added insult to injury and appointed Suzanne Case. So
yeah, that just shows you, you know, the level of what's going on here. You know, we just need help. We need a governor that's brand new. That's just gonna. I don't care if it's a Republican or Democrat, but they got to be brand new. And we need help from the federal government because there's just so much corruption. I mean, who's gonna alone stand up to the unions, to the banks, to the land people, the shipping industry? They're all in collusion and, you know, controlling. And meanwhile, you know, the poor Hawaiian family can't afford to live here, so homelessness is going to go up. Everyone that complains about homelessness, as far as the politicians, they don't even want to talk about why homelessness is there to begin with. It's because the freaking cost of living is too high here. And so that problem will always exist. We're just sweeping them around the island like a, you know, trash, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we need to lower the cost of living here. The glaring fact, and I'll leave with this statement, the glaring fact should always start with, at one point not very long ago, Hawaii was able to sustain itself not only 100%, it was also a food exporter to the west coast of the mainland. Today, we import, I heard it's 94% of our food is imported to us. It's a complete reverse.
Mm-hmm.
And that is tragic. I mean, why is that happening? Well, we know why, but, you know, who's going to stop it? We need to get back to supporting, sustaining ourselves, and that way homelessness will cease to exist. But when the average Joe like me or maybe you trying to raise a kid on this island, it costs so much because of the cost of food, the cost of electricity, the cost of housing, and the debt tax, for people who don't get out much, they should know that on the mainland, we have taxes, but we don't have the get-style taxes, man. You don't pay taxes everywhere you go for everything you do. And so that's the problem. We're importing 94% of what we eat here, and that's a dangerous situation. But anyway, I don't want to ramble on. I appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you for calling. Appreciate you calling.
Thanks.
Aloha. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Are we on?
We're on.
Great. I heard on the Polka Show one day that the word politics derives from police.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest that homelessness is the government's way of crucifying people. It's just the way they like to do things. And that the police state that's in place turns you into actual slaves if you do something bad enough to get taken into jail for years, or you're just a slaver to snake two bars on at the dollar sign, because they'll release pending investigation. They don't want to feed you, they don't want to close you, but they sure do want to pick a poor man's pockets.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting blood out of rocks. That's all I can add. I'm glad Richard was back on the air. He's a great guest, and I hope the other callers can help bring this around. What's the solution? Be prepared to be crucified with a smile on your face. Learn how to live like a slave with dignity, or fight back. Mm-hmm. You won't drag yourself down to their level, or do you have to rise over their level? It's really confusing.
Yeah. Well, I think the first step, in my opinion, is to simply divest ourselves of the trust toward the current government, that they are not good. They've been at the scene of the crime every day, all day, and then they recruit their likes, the likes of them, to become politicians, and they pave their way. And so we're stuck, and it's not going to take a grand revolution. The revolution has already started. It's just that nobody's willing to take the time to appreciate it. The revolution has revealed itself. This Ige is about as corrupt as you can get. Everything and anything that he touches within in many situations, it's always a delay. He can't come out and just be emphatic and speak specific to issues. And then to embrace Caldwell and all of that, that's not what we invited him into the office for. And then we go back to Abercrombie. You see, perfect example where we trust them because they are Democrats. And I've often said Democrats is more likely because they're sneaky. You don't know what they're doing, and give rats a bad name, to be honest with you.
Those that sell the sizzle and deliver a rancid steak.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it about time that the big Hawaiians, Samoans, and all these other giant daddies take matters into their own hands and start taking people down to the heiau?
And do what?
Have a ceremony on their behalf.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go that far, but if you think that's a solution, I'd say have at it.
It's about time something changes.
Yeah.
It's the people are keep getting pushed around.
Yeah, and
remember, the police are going to show up with MRAPs and riot equipment.
Right, and it's all a system. It complements one in place. So you go out there and start a protest or something, and you'll have the same number of policemen that Donald Trump would send, but it'll be the Democrats in this state sending the police out. You'll have the same number of arrests that Donald Trump would have.
Hmm? Do you think Pocala knew he didn't make it to the air because he's in jail because he had that piss in?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, he wanted to protest a $2,000 fine for peeing or pooping in public.
Mm-hmm.
So just go ahead, I guess, and I don't know. Look for him in jail.
Well, he can. I'm sure he would let us know. And you got one call, you know.
Yeah. So let me clear the air and let's hear what other interest people have to say.
All righty. Thank you. All righty. So many of you are probably saying, well, just more talk and more wah-wah, as I say, on this air, in this station. But I honestly believe that we can be set up in the worst way. We, the people here that vote and the citizens of this state, can be set up. And that is, we'll get attracted to what's going on with Donald Trump. And we won't be aware or cognizant or conscience of what is really going on with our local government. I mean, we're so numb with the Donald Trump syndrome, and what he's going to do and how evil he is. They're talking about setting a lifelong tax on us in this state. They're talking about building new prisons. They're talking about the homeless issues and why, and doing TV stories, and nobody takes the camera and shove it down the throat and say, you know what, enough already. We're never going to interview you again. Talking about locking out Donald Trump. Lock out this legislation, these legislators, these politicians. Don't give them the air to go around and prance and make some statement about homelessness and what they're going to do. They get their coverage and they have their constituents to buy into it, and you never hear from them again. One failed act after the other. So I'm very nervous, to be honest with you, how that we're going to be duped. And at the end of the day, or at the end of the session, the governor, the mayor, is going to have ripped you off to the point that we just can't afford it, as they're already doing. Tax, tax, tax. And you unions out there that go around and beat up on people and try and kill them and burn them out because you want to have your membership make a little money. But that membership, their families are suffering too. You know the deal. You know the game. You get big salaries as union heads, and you hobnob on the golf courses with the legislators and all of that. But in the reality, you too pay some ownership of this failed system, this failed policies that we see shoved down our throats every day. And is it fair? It's not about fairness. It's about if you know that you are going to impact people negatively, you should be careful. Getting jobs is one thing, but jobs can be just as deadly as the not having jobs if they're just funneling monies to legislators and the union people. But anyway, again, parallel to what we see in the paper with Donald Trump and the discussion that he didn't invite the media in and icing them out and isolating them. Well, again, I talk about this bill, and feel free to call in and distract or divert or whatever. 524-1080 is you're welcome to call. But House Bill 1518, and basically it's saying that the vexatious bill, it's a vexatious requester, and it's in today's advertiser's local section, and I'll quote a few comments. But first of all, it says a bill in the Hawaii legislature could limit some people's right to public records requests, with public agencies raising concerns that it could reduce journalists and community members' access to information. Well, how can it impede some people's rights when all people have a right? And when you say a vexatious requester, let me just go through how it has deteriorated. When I first started going in to get information in the state, I could go in and make a request for the file, and on occasion you might have one person who's a smart ass that would just say, well, you know, I'm going to delay, or the mayor had told them that if you see Carol Cox come in for records, just put a delay stall. I can understand that. I can live with that part, because eventually I'll get the records. But they come along and they say, well, if you release any records to anybody, and that's illegal, so we'll prosecute you. So that's number one, okay? So then they have a whistleblowing law. So if a whistleblower is invited to whistleblow, but then the legislators turn around and build a law, or author a law, and then put it in place to prosecute anybody that leaks documents. First of all, there is a problem there. Assaulting public transparency to government and access to records. So it's an impediment in place and by design. So we have the OIP, Office of Information Practices. They, if you're denied a document or records, you can appeal to them. But they too, as you've known historically, are political one lady was snatched up overnight and replaced with another, and then it's been in temporary, and I don't know the status now, but again, even they can be corrupt. If you can file a request and an appeal, they don't have to get to that appeal right away, so it could be a year or 2 years if they decide to delay it. So that's another impediment by design. And we're thinking about Donald Trump. This is what's going on right here under our noses in our backyard, in our legislative process, and in our state government, and city government, and county government. So another tactic, when they want to delay you, is you go in and you make a request for records. They have 10 days, and then they can get 20 days or whatever, but they have gotten very sneaky and say, well, we must submit this to the Attorney General. so that they, the Attorney General, need to look at the records before we release them to you. So that's another tactic. People like Scott Psyche won't listen to the public on those issues and say, well, no, instead of loosening or tightening up and restricting the public's access, we should be making it more accessible. And then there's this other ploy, high fees. I've been on occasion quoted for just a few documents that I'm required to pay $600 for a set of documents. And now this isn't just at levels of the lowest level, the county clerk or anything like that, or a person that working at the city office of DPP. This goes all the way up to the Attorney General's office. And then another delay is to, you must fill out a form. And as I've shared with you, the law does not require you to fill out a form. The law is the law that has been passed for years. You just need to make a formal request, and that formal request can be verbal. And again, they've disregarded that. So that's another obstacle. Then you're allowed to walk in and look at records in any operating day. Well, you can't do that because maybe the clerk isn't available. They can't find the records. They got to look at for the records. So, in other words, what's happening here is a situation where the state government, who has the ultimate say, the legislators, as we see this with this bill, is once again conspiring to defraud and deprive people of the right for transparency in government. And in this bill, the newspaper is reporting that the Star Advertiser, in this article, it's written by Associated Press, but the Hawaii Health Services Corporation supported the proposal because it has experience with a few people who use the records law to abuse and harass, end quote. Now, why I looked on the DCCA for these records and to find out who this Hawaii Health Services what I'm finding is, if it's the right one, and I got to check again, but there is one foreign entity. And if it's a private entity or industry, what difference does it make? Why should they have the right to go to our legislators and say, because of a few people who we, in our belief or experience, have been harassed by these people in making requests, so therefore we think you should make a law that bans anybody and allows anyone to be tagged as vexatious. So, given all those steps, is that transparency? Is that open government? Is it sunshine? No. And then there's another strategy that has been employed. Once again, if you go to any agency now, more than likely you will find a recently hired or person that have been acquired, most of the times they are former news reporters, local news reporters, who go and become employed for DOT, DOH, for the university, and on and on and on. And they become gate watchers and gatekeepers, or many thugs, to provide a delay and obstruct your right to records and your rights to see that you have a government that is transparent. So this new bill is just yet another step to defraud you of your rights and to allow you to make determinations. And let me just, rather than just talking in theory, let me just give you some basic things that you would might be interested in getting, and when, and you're frustrated and you make a request and you think you have access and you're suspecting that, let's say you had a daughter, a cluster of people that developed cancer in an apartment complex or what have you, or some major illnesses that would not normal in the family history, and they know that it's environmental, But you want some records, and you think that you have a right to these records, and you want some open policy, open government. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples. There are many more modern, but I can give you an examples where we don't need any more rules to deny you the right to records, public access to records, or openness in government. We need government to be open, completely different from what Scott Sike is proposing. So this one letter here is dated Tuesday, July 3rd, 2012, to Hakeem Kwansafi, a Hawaii Public Housing Authority. And facility site, Wailuku Sugar Company, Agriculture Department, TMK, and subject, soil sample analytical results and recommendations. Dear Mr. Kwansafi, the Department of Health Hazard Evaluation and Emergency Response Office is conducting environmental investigations of former sugarcane plantation operations that may have released hazardous substance to the soil. A former pesticide mixing area was identified on a 1927 Sanborn fire insurance map at the former Wailuku Sugar Company Agriculture Department, 2015 Holowai Place, Wailuku. In March, the DOH collected multi-increment samples, determined if the substance are present in the soil. Historical area photos of the location, existing buildings were referenced to and gave some things. Soil samples were analyzed for heavy metals and pesticides historically used by the sugar industry for weed control. State and federal environmental cleanup laws rely on scientific data to establish safe levels of contaminants in soil, water, and air. To evaluate whether a contaminated site needs to be remediated, DOH has calculated environmental. So, anyway, this document tells this director that an apartment and buildings and that they've structured and sited Hawaiian Housing Authority buildings on is contaminated. Here's another one to a citizen. And I'm not going to give her a name, but it's at 203 Market Street, Kaikili Terrace, in Wailuku. Again, subject, notification of former pesticide mixing area in Kahakili Terrace. I understand Laura Young and Selena Pang of the Hawaii Department of Health visited you at Kahakili Terrace on March 14, 2012. Based on a review of historical information, our staff determined that a pesticide mixing and storage area was located in the vicinity of the apartment complex in the general area where your garden is. Our staff is planning to test the soil for your yard and adjoining yards for pesticides on Wednesday, March 28, 2012. The soil samples will be analyzed, and anyway, it's some of the things. Limit children to access to any bare soil in the yard. Keep grass, other vegetative cover kinds, and surface material over the soil in your property. Avoid tracking soil into the home. Remove shoes before entering your home. Clean toys, shoes, and pets that may become dirty with soil. Wash hands thoroughly after playing on the soil. Now, again, the most persistent chemical found at former pesticide mixing areas are arsenic and dioxins. Those are not little guys you play with, folks. Very deadly, harmful, carcinogenic, and causes cancer and all kinds of things. Dioxins are believed to be related to the use of pentachlorophenol, another pesticide used for weed control by sugar companies. And arsenic was used in the past to control weeds on the sugarcane plantation. So imagine you a citizen, and you want to get those records because you know that people have gotten sick, and they're not going to volunteer this stuff for you, because in this corrupt state, they're going to do everything they can. They'll go through the motions. They'll go and interview people. They'll go in and interview them, take depositions, take statements, and still do nothing because of the politics involved in this state. And so we all suffer. The environment suffers. So what if you were these parties or this lady and many others that were knowing that there were people getting sick and cancers and what have you show up, and you write in that, make a request for these documents, and you don't get what you want, so you write again and ask for those records because you found out that there's a different wording that you should have asked for. And because they don't volunteer, they being state government, don't volunteer, don't call you up and go, well, you know, we got this request for this address, but are you sure? Because we want to make sure we get through. You don't get that kind of a treatment. It's that go-away attitude. Don't bother us. And then you find out that your original request was not on target and you didn't have all the information, so you make a second request. That can be deemed as a vexatious requester. And when it's left up to the agency heads and what have you to implement and introduce new rules and new laws and policies that really not on the book or just to delay you or frustrate you, and there you are, you're stuck. So I would suggest that any of you that are interested in making sure the government remains transparent or improves its transparency for the public, call Scott Psyche, call your local rep, because it's supposed to go to the full Senate and House, and maybe we have a chance to stop it. And the article says that in Star Advertiser here, the proposal introduced by Representative Scott Psyche, Democrat. Oh, there's that magic word, the Democrat again. Really? Is that, it's kind of strange that the word Democrat should be associated with, in the same sentence as building a wall of resistance to transparency for government. You see what I'm saying? If you don't know what they're doing, how you know they're screwing you or not? How do you get to how do you get them to stop? How do you get them to improve their behavior, their representation, if they are able to generate documents and conduct business and then tell you, well, you've asked too many times. Yeah, because you've been so evasive and dishonest about the process, and motivated by a company and encouraged by someone else, because the general public should never be prosecuted or persecuted or punished because of a few bad actors. And then when you say bad actors, what does that really mean? Is it that taxing that someone send you a letter and to your agency, and then you in turn ignore that party, don't respond? Take specifically, I could be deemed a vexatious requester. I write to the governor on numerous occasions to report major violations and misbehaving on the part of state agencies and city agencies. I don't get a response back that they even received it, the letter. I know that they did because we have them to sign for it and get a receipt on the email or whatever we write. We know that they received it, and we also call up, but we never get anything. So, again, we're still interested in those documents, so we send back and say, again, we request this information. And then a third time, again, it has been 9 months, we want this information. And I would like to receive a copy of my letter to you. Well, that could be deemed a vexatious requester. But all you're trying to do is document so that you can go to the OIP, if they dare listen to you, and appeal to them. But in order to appeal to them, you got to establish that the agency you send it to received it. But OIP will not get involved in whether the debate is did they receive it or not and what have you. You got the burden is on you to prove it. So, again, these documents that you request, so OIP writes a state or the city agency and say to them, you must take these documents that are requested by Mr. Cox or Citizen K or Johnson, and in turn, you take that information, and we want all documents related to this. This is OIP talking to the agency. And the agency has to make copies and send them to the OIP. The citizen isn't allowed to see those documents. So what hangs in the mist is simply a game can be played, a delay of documents, a denial of documents. And again, I caution all of you, while we definitely don't want a bad player in the White House, but the big house over here on Baratania and Punch Bowl, you should be worried just as much, because there are clowns in monkey suits, and they do things that you wouldn't find at the zoo. The greatest insult of them you might get at the zoo is a monkey throws his poo at you. But over here, they violate your rights and then have the audacity to tax you, and tax you in a way that it costs you where you can lose your house. You lose your livelihood, lose your business. They don't care, because right on the heels of you moving out, they have a friend that they've courted on the mainland that can come in here and set up some buildings and high-rises, and in turn, and for the instant, the gratification is that they're going to get more tax dollars, because if you build a building, that's forever paying some money, you see. And again, we wouldn't want to pass up on the people building high-rises, because each high-rise contains so many units, and each unit serves as a tax source. You see where that game's going? So you and I going to the beach is of no importance, because there's no revenue. So we're getting taxed on the rail, we're getting taxed at the counter for buying food or a drink, a soft drink, we're getting taxed on gas, we're getting taxed on weight, we're getting taxed on you name it. And all we can hear in the background is, watch out for Trump. Trump is an evil man. We got to do something about Trump. And yet, the people that are really doing it to us in this state is the Democratic Party. The joy of this is that, you know, when they say all politicians and the Republicans, I heard someone say, well, you know, it's a good thing. It was really good when Sam Sloan was there and he could speak out. We don't need Paul Revere. We need someone, like the gentleman called earlier, we need a leader. We need someone that's honest. We know the British are coming. We know they've sat down and they reside in the square building and at the governor's office. We know that at Honolulu Hale. We know where the enemy is. But we don't need anything. This parade or charade of going out and protesting against Donald Trump, I would say my suggestion to many of you out there, the Donald Trump situation is rather unique. There are things in place that I believe that it'll take care of itself. America has had worse problems, and they tend to work themselves out. But nobody is attending to the problem we have here in Hawaii. No one. Absolutely no one. We're voting because they look good. We're voting because he's a nice guy. We're voting for them because he was driving down the highway drunk with his kids in his van and got arrested and DUI and stepped down from the Senate, and then give him another chance. He becomes city council, and then now he's the chairman of the city council. Give him another chance. These are the kind of people we vote for, and this is a sentiment, and this is what we do as people. In this state, we need to check our attitudes. We as individual voters and citizens, the revolution has already begun. Your eyes have been open. Every day if you drive along, especially those that are leaving town going westerly, you're reminded every day the revolution has begun. And the signal is that big, stupid train. I don't know what more you need to be motivated to start voting the right way and voting smart. I honestly think that we need to take young people from schools that have not been cohorting and fraternizing with these guys in office. You can't approach them. You take Mike Gabbard, statesman now. You go to him, Red Hill. I went to him, he and Chris Lee, and I gave them thousands of documents regarding the Red Hill before everything broke and all. To date, I have not received a thing, a response from them, anything. But boy, have they had meetings and bed wrappings and footsies with the Navy, and the Navy took control. And I would say, Mike Gabbard, you know, I watch him and I see him quiet. Now I know why he's quiet. The guy's just always got some alternative, ulterior motive. Always. We might perceive it as statesmanlike, but it's calculating on his part. Very slow and sleazy and sneaky about it. And when you approach him, he don't say much. You know, he's a feng shui, you know, he got it all mellow. But the reality is, look at some of the decisions he makes. And this Red Hill, folks, I've told you on my show, documents that have never, ever been reviewed by the state, that I obtained from the state, that clearly spoke to the contaminants, and I reported those on this show. Read them from the documents themselves that clearly state parts per million exceeding EALs and contaminants and naphthalene and bromide and you name it in the water from Red Hill contamination. Somehow, Gabbard allowed, and his so-called task force and all, and his quietness and statesmanlike, and Chris Lee, what do we get? A grouping of all the underground storage tanks and here and there and everywhere. And so now when we speak about Red Hill, that's why we can't get real definitive answers, because they allow them to wed all of these contaminated sites and tanks that are leaking and group them together. And so instead, and theoretically, instead of going and collecting, getting money to address the Red Hill site specifically, they grouped them all together, so now they got to go and get money for all of the sites at one time. So that then allows the Navy to escape. Now, they'll deny this, but I'm telling you what I know. And the documents. When I went to Tabata, I think his name is... the underground storage person, the Navy was required to report leaks, and they were required to give reports quarterly or monthly. And they, in fact, did, but they did not, they being the state, did not open the box and even read the documents. And Safe Drinking Water would have also gotten those documents, and they didn't. Because they were sitting down in the desk, on a desk that reported timely by the Navy, but were never made public until I made the public request. Mike Gabbard has all those documents. Chris Lee has all those documents. We are still standing by watching an environmental nightmare unfold. And yet, what's the solution? Vote for me, and I'll set you free. We have a long way to go, and again, I come at it from this angle and share with you. Let's not get lost in looking at what's going on in Washington, and be equally concerned and mindful of what's going on in Washington Place. and what's going on at the state capitol. We're not getting a good government, and I'm thinking, if nothing else, we should just vote for the Bozo Party. Or anything that would disrupt this normal circle jerk that we've come to become familiar with. We deserve better. I don't think we've done anything that would justify being defrauded of our monies, being overtaxed. I don't think there's anything that we've done that would justify that. Caller, thank you for calling. Comments or questions?
Yeah, my comment is, why do you plan on implying that the Trump administration...
Trump, can you turn down your radio there in the back or step away from it? You're getting an echo. I'm hearing you twice.
Some kind of evil or something.
No. Okay.
He's going to be implying, hey, he's pinning off his 1 month. Give him a chance. Our government has been in office, in power for the last 50 years. That's why we're so screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump's administration is nothing compared to the... I don't know what you call it, dictatorship or the, that we had by the Democratic Party here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about Mike Gabber. Wasn't this guy the biggest anti-gay in his previous life as a Republican?
I'm a little cautious to say that he was. Because we really don't know what his belief is. He still could have evolved into one a greater gay hater. We don't know, you see. But we do know, like you say, he was in fact anti-gay.
And he was a Republican.
Yeah. Yeah, but
and he came from that the Luano Hare Krishna bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And. And then these guys on Maui and that other, and all these other found, and which channels down into his daughter.
Mm-hmm. And we've endowed her with our blessings, and she goes abroad and goes astray.
Well, I don't know if she goes astray. I mean, if she go talk, she can talk to anybody she wants. Not that it's going to do any good.
Well, I agree with you there. But give us a report of in a solid report with specific facts and how you got there, who got you there, and all of that. And then what was the content of the meeting, and what was the purpose of the meeting, and how will it relate to American business and betterment?
Yeah,
you see, she hadn't produced any of those. She hadn't produced any documents. You see, to a formal, everybody take issue with it. I want to see a formal document sanctioned by Congress that lends itself. Imagine everybody running around trying to do their own thing. And
that's the thing. I don't understand. You said you get McCain, running in the Middle East, going to Syria. How many foreign policies you got going for? Guys are cut blanche. They can,
Yeah. It's we deserve better. I mean, I'm not going to scold her, but I just think that if you're going to represent, that's what she is, a representative, right? We should be...
Full of town hall or whatever it does, what's going on.
Yeah, we should at least be apprised in a logical way, a fashion that we can sit down and read specifics as to what it was that she did, why she went there, and what, the whole involvement. But we don't know anything. We're having to pull catch as catch can, right?
That's right.
Yes. So,
the thing he's doing about this, about pipelines and this, gas lines here around Pearl Harbor area. I used to live around that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I still live in, Salt Lake. And, I drive through there and I see all these, open area and they're saying, warnings about pipelines going through here.
Right.
But I I cannot find anything about, you know, I mean, how dangerous they are, the chemicals, how vulnerable. Because you get the whole stadium area around there, and anything but shoe factory, they got that massive tanks or something.
Well, we've covered that on you can go to carolcox.com and listen to some of the shows. We've talked about the carolcox.com.
Is that you?
Mm-hmm. And you can pull up all the stories. And we've actually covered and warned people about the stadium and them stealing the stadium way before it even become public knowledge. Interior Department lied. And now they're talking about taking a portion of the stadium. But underneath the stadium and under the ground there is contaminants, plumes of oil and what have you. So, yeah. Well, thank you for calling. I'm going to see if I can get this one other caller here, and I appreciate you listening. Caller, thank you. Go ahead.
Yes, I know not much time. I was wondering if anybody approached Sam Sloan for running for governor. I have to have somebody replace the people that are there. That's one comment. And then the other thing is, have you reported or talked to Civil Beat as far as do they report, you know, real statistics and the stuff about the Red Hill water supply?
I don't know. You have to call Civil Beat. They're the people. They don't call me, so I wouldn't know.
Call them and then try to give them information?
No, I don't have no obligation to call anybody to give anything. They can listen to the show, and we're online.
Want to report more thoroughly in your source.
Well, then they should look me up, right? I'm not in that mode.
I see.
Yeah, but
okay.
All right, thank you. Aloha. Yeah, well, many times I get asked that, and to be honest with you, when you go out and approach people, it's a strange situation. If you go to them, they then look at you as being subservient, and the value of your information and your hard work and the product of your work is not aesthetics, not of value. But if they come to me, then more than likely I'm going to be inclined to give them a listener. They can have what I want, but people tend to look at you nowadays as when you're meddling in their affairs. So I often get, well, we're already looking into that. Well, good. Then I won't bother you anymore because what I have is I've looked into it and I have the documentation. So we shy away from that as a result of earlier treatments and what have you. So we just stay away from that and do our own thing. And no man is an island, but we should have a website. And you can go there at carolcox.com, or you can also see me on Olelo, the Carol Cox Show, on Sundays at 1 o'clock, Channel 54, and on Thursdays at 7 o'clock, Channel 54. We'll see you next week, and I appreciate all of you listening, and thank you for calling. Aloha.